where even threatening to ban 9mm handguns? Really, Joe? Take a look.
A 22 caliber bullet will lodge in a lung, and we can probably get it out, maybe every day, and save the life. A 9mm bullet blows the lung out of the body. So the idea of these high caliber weapons is of there is simply no rational basis for it in terms of about self-protection, hunting. And remember, the Constitution, the Second Amendment, was never absolute. You couldn't buy a cannon when the Second Amendment was passed.
By the way, that was debunked, but that's a different issue for a different day. Joe, before you rip up that document called the Constitution, what about we offer school children, our precious children, our national treasure, the same exact protection that you, Joe Biden, enjoy and all the other high-ranking politicians enjoy and Hollywood stars enjoy? That's armed security. And by the way, absolutely nothing Biden said is true, not a word. What? Will we, the people, be totally defenseless? What do we do when evil people break into our homes? How did that defund, dismantle, no bail stuff work out so far in this country? Now disarming every law-abiding citizen? No, that's not the answer. That is a prescription for chaos, death, and destruction, and the American people won't tolerate it, nor should they.
Sean Hannity last night on Fox News Channel, I'll just tell you, what they want to do, what the Biden administration wants to do, Pete Buttigieg and everybody in that administration, they want desperately to disarm America. And we can't. We can't let that happen. One thing that they want to do, you know, they say, in fact, now I'm starting to hear Democrats say, well, we don't want, you know, everything. I mean, it would be great if we could get universal background checks and blah, 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 blah. The fact is, what they want is they want it all. Gun Owners of America, I think, does a great job. And one of the things that they say is no compromise. Because they realize that compromise is going to mean capitulation. Simply put, the left wants to disarm America. They want to make us like Australia or Canada. Stay where you are. Coming up, Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach, will join us. A little bit later on in the hour, Dr. Fred Simon, Republican candidate for governor, a trauma surgeon, and a small businessman, a pretty good guy. We'll talk with him and a lot more coming up in our next hour. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
Nevada's 3rd Congressional District doesn't need another weak politician in Congress. Nevada 3 needs a congressman that's a real fighter, a congressman with a resume of impressive experience that'll go to Washington and get things done, a congressman whose only motivation is his love of America. A congressman who will listen to his constituents and deliver results. This May, when your primary ballot arrives, look for the name John Kovacs. John will fight to lower the cost of living for Nevadans. John will fight for our Constitution and the rights of our people. John will fight to create affordable health care to help the small businesses and their employees. John will be tough on crime. He'll protect our families and secure our borders. He will fight to restore energy independence, lower inflation, and solve our growing water crisis before it's too late. John Kovacs will fight for election integrity and fight against the radicalization of our children's education. Fight against the globalist agenda that's controlling our country. John Kovacs is the congressional candidate Nevada needs. Paid for by John Kovacs for Congress.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. A grand jury has charged the white 18-year-old accused of fatally shooting 10 black people at a Buffalo supermarket with domestic terrorism motivated by hate and 10 counts of first-degree murder. Meanwhile, in Uvalde, Texas, police say they are cooperating with the investigation into last week's deadly shooting.
Uvalde Consolidated Independent School District Police Chief Pete Arredondo tells CNN he's talking daily with investigators. That contradicts claims from state law enforcement that he has stopped cooperating. The chief communications officer with the Texas Department of Public Safety said Tuesday Arredondo had not responded to DPS requests for 2 days. State officials have said that 19 police officers waited outside the classroom where Salvador Ramos had opened fire, despite repeated pleas from children calling 911 for help. I'm Mike Hempen.
President Biden says more baby formula will be coming from overseas.
During a virtual meeting with manufacturers, the president announced another round of infant formula shipments from foreign producers will begin arriving soon.
With Bubs Australia, this flight would bring 4.6 million bottles of infant formula.
The president claimed progress was being made, but said there's more to do. Despite administration efforts, the nationwide baby formula shortage has grown worse, with many store shelves remaining empty. Greg Clugston, Washington.
It was a slow day on Wall Street. Meanwhile, there's a word that Las Vegas Chapels of Love could find themselves becoming heartbreak hotels.
The licensing company that controls the name and image of Elvis Presley is ordering some Vegas chapel operators to stop using him in themed wedding ceremonies. Cease and desist letters were sent out in early May to multiple chapels, but with Elvis closely tied to the Las Vegas wedding industry, some...
And that's Rhonda Rockstra. More from townhall.com.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-690-4040. That's 1-800-690-4040. Or go to SelectQuote.com. 1-800-690-4040. That's 1-800-690-4040.
SelectQuote. We shop. You save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercials.
I'm Tony Grady, candidate for Nevada Lieutenant Governor. We are now at the critical point in this election where we choose Nevada's future course. Let us put forward our best team to defeat the statist Democrats in November. During this campaign, I've traveled throughout all 17 counties, met and spoken with thousands of our fellow Nevadans who have shared their concerns about our state. I have heard you, and I'm ready to go to work addressing those concerns. I am your statesman, considering future generations and not just reacting to the present. I served our country in uniform as a pilot and test pilot, commanding the B-2 Stealth Bomber Test Squadron. I flew internationally for FedEx for 20 years. I have served as the Reno Air Race Director of Flight Operations and Race Director. Let my proven principled leadership from the military, private sector, and local community work for you. It would be my honor to lead you as your next lieutenant governor. Your voice matters, Nevada. Please go to TonyGradyForNevada.com and learn more about my policies and vote for me. I am Tony Grady, and I approve this message. Paid for by Tony Grady for Nevada.
It's 204, and this is your KMZQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. With early voting underway for the upcoming Nevada primary election, turnout has been rather lackluster. The voting began this past Saturday and it runs through the 10th of June at various locations around the valley, with more than 1.2 million active registered voters in the county. Just more than 12,000 cast a ballot during the first 3 days of early voting. That's less than 1%. Locations and more information are available on the Clark County website. Remember, primary election day is Tuesday, June 14th. The $305 million revamping of the Tropicana Interstate 15 interchange is officially underway. The plans call for the Tropicana interchange to be completely rebuilt. The bridge will be widened and raised by 4 feet. The flyover ramp from the 15 southbound above it being partially rebuilt and raised as well. The project is going to be carried out in 4 different phases. It is expected to be completed by the middle of 2025. And the Aces They're 9-1. That's the best start in franchise history as they beat the Connecticut Sun last night, 89-81.
KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Right now, get a basic oil change for only $29.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
Little bit of congestion on the 15 right now as you work your way through the resort area. Northbound at Sahara, south at Owens. And lane restrictions downtown through the Spaghetti Bowl on the 515. Eastbound at the 15 interchange and 515 westbound at Eastern Avenue.
I want you to know that the movement we started is only just beginning. There's never been anything like it. The belief that a nation must serve its citizens will not dwindle, but instead only grow stronger by the day. As long as the American people hold in their hearts deep and devoted love of country, then there is nothing that this nation cannot achieve. I go from this majestic place with a loyal and joyful heart, an optimistic spirit, and a supreme confidence that for our country and for our children, the best is yet to come.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Hour number three of Live and Local for the first day of June. It is June 1st, Wednesday, and that means, of course, Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach and the author of Muth's Truths. He joins us now. Chuck, how you been, my friend?
I'm just enjoying life right now. Waiting for this primary to be over.
Yeah, well, you may be waiting a while because June 15, we may not know who is winning or losing this election. What is your sense of the electorate? Are people starting to zero in on this thing? Are they starting to become fully engaged?
Oh, yeah, they're fully engaged now. Anyone who wants, I mean, now, there are some people who just don't vote in primaries. You know, Republicans and Democrats both that only vote in the general election, but your primary voters are folks who tend to take a little bit more close attention to what's going on, and they've already received their ballots. They got their sample ballot. They got their ballot. Early voting has started. They're fully engaged. I'm getting emails every day saying, who do I vote for judge, or who do I vote for this local election? And yeah, this is why I wait for election day to cast my ballot, because there's still a lot of things out there that I don't know about a lot of candidates in a lot of these races. So I'll take my time and wade through it for the next 2 weeks and then cast my ballot on June 14th.
Sheriff Joe, at the last debate, said that essentially the race is over. I'm assuming that means that he wins. What is your sense of what's going on in that governor's race?
I think he's probably was spot on. Of course, we all know, and I know it's a cliche, that you know anything can happen and it ain't over till it's over, but you would need a major earthquake, political earthquake, to occur in order to overcome the lead that he's built up and the lead that, frankly, he's enjoyed since he got into this race almost a year ago, I think. Joey Gilbert's putting up a valiant fight. He's got the most passionate grassroots supporters of any campaign that I've seen this cycle. But you know, it's not the best candidate who wins. It's the best campaign, and I think he had the opportunity and the base of supporters to do this. But he was really hurt by the fact that there were so many other candidates, and so, you know, Mayor John Lee, Dean Heller, former U.S. Senator Guy Nora, who had a lot of money and was a newcomer that got a lot of attention. The folks who were really upset with Joe Lombardo as being the nominee. Never rally behind one alternative like you're seeing in some of these other races where it's really a one-on-one race with a bunch of others out there. The anti-Lombardo vote has been fractured, and no one was willing to step aside other than Michelle Fiore to try to coalesce into an anti-Lombardo movement. And so for that reason, as much as I like Joey Gilbert, I like Guy Nora, I just don't think the circumstances are such that they're going to be able to pull off an upset on Election Day.
Would you like to have seen the party rein this in a little bit? I mean, 15, 16 candidates. I mean, that's a little bit excessive. Should the state party, should the county party, should somebody have stepped up and said, hey, guys, gals, let's back it off. 5, 6 candidates, great. The rest of you run for the state senate.
Yeah, absent a major political figure like Harry Reid was for the Democrats for so many years, you have to be able to exert some leverage. Harry Reid was able to say, if you don't pull out of this race, we're going to come after you in the primary. We're supporting somebody else. Or if you would choose to run for a different seat, then we will support you for a different seat. Now, Republicans don't have anyone like that. The top statewide candidate or elected official is Barbara Sagavsky, who's the Secretary of State, and she can't get involved in partisan activities like that. The second highest ranking political individual would be Mark Amaday, a congressman from Northern Nevada, and you're one of four congresspeople. He may have tried to take and have that type of influence, but raising the money like Harry Reid did, it was not something that he really had in mind for his for his purposes. So that would leave you with the Nevada Republican Party, and frankly, the only thing they have to offer, they don't have money that they can give to candidates that they can throw around. They don't have anything they can threaten other candidates with, and they don't have any carrots to give to good candidates. So the one thing they could have done, should have done, was probably to endorse candidates earlier in some of these races. And frankly, I mean, the endorsement process that they did do was so fouled up, it's so confusing.
Explain that. Explain, because I still to this day don't understand that statewide endorsement.
Well, they tried to, the Nevada Republican Party tried to control the process to put their preferred candidates forward. So what they did was they required the candidates to request an endorsement from the party, at which time they had a star chamber of party leaders who reviewed the candidates that requested the endorsement, and then they put forward a recommendation to the convention at the end of April, rather than putting everybody's name who is a legitimate candidate on the ballot and just let the convention delegates vote for the one candidate that they wanted. I mean, they ended up co-endorsing two or three candidates in some of these races, and co-endorsing two candidates or three candidates is like not endorsing anybody at all. It's not even endorsement. So they really fouled it up. The candidates knew it. A lot of the candidates knew the party was pretty much an empty suit, and they didn't even waste their time applying for the endorsement, knowing how messed up that it was going to be. And so if they're going to do it, and they should do it again, Kevin, I mean, I've been advocating this for 20 years, the party should absolutely do pre-primary endorsements. In some cases, they should do them prior to filing, actually, for some incumbents. But it should be a more fair and open and transparent process so that everybody knows what is going on, and then they can make their strategies accordingly.
Again, Chuck Booth joining us, the president of Citizen Outreach, and we're talking about an election that's coming up in 13 days. Do you think we'll know anything the night of the 14th?
Oh, yeah, a lot of these races will be decided, and we'll know before everyone goes to bed, let's say around midnight on the 14th. A lot of these races will be, the candidate leading will be so far ahead that even if there's still some ballots trickling in, it won't be enough to overcome the results. Now, the folks who have close races on election night are going to end up in the same situation that we had in the 2020 election and what we just saw in the Pennsylvania and we're still seeing in the Pennsylvania U.S. Senate race, that we still don't know who the final winner is with any certainty. So there will be some races. Anybody who's in a close race is going to have to wait probably at least 10 days to 2 weeks before the results are finally tabulated and made official. But a lot of the other races, they'll be decided on the 14th, and we'll know who those are.
Chuck, you talked about the governor's race. I want to dig a little deep on the Senate race. Where does that stand? What does the polling tell you? Sheriff Joe said their race is over. Don't know that that's necessarily true. But what about in the Senate race?
No, and the Senate race definitely is not true. We've got Adam Laxalt, who's the front runner, and Sam Brown, who's the challenger. Now, since March, I've seen three polls. Back in March, the first poll showed Adam up 38%. The second poll showed him up 25%. The most recent poll showed him up 15%. So Sam Brown is clearly gaining traction while Adam Laxalt is losing some support. And the race is really tightening up. And there was a major NBC story that came out this morning that indicated that, yeah, this race has tightened up. Where it should have been a slam dunk for Adam Laxalt, there's definitely the potential for a major upset here. Now, you still got to say that with all of his money and all of his connections and all of his endorsements, Adam would still be, I'd have to still say is the favorite to win that primary, but I sure as heck wouldn't bet the house on that at this point. Sam Brown has momentum, and there's 2 weeks to go, and a story like that NBC story coming out today, just as early voting has started to begin, doesn't help Adam Laxalt at all, and definitely is going to help Sam Brown.
More coming up with Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach, as we continue towards Election Day, the primary election, June 14th, end of early voting, June 10th. We're going to be talking a lot about that over the next, 13 days. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
Thanks for listening. Listen weekday mornings at 7:50 on the club, weekday afternoons at 2:50 during Live and Local with Kevin Wall for your chance to win a $50 gas card and basic oil change. Thanks for listening, fueled by Meineke Car Care Center here on AM 670 KMZQ.
Hi, my name is Sigal Chadha, the conservative Republican for Nevada Attorney General. 2 years ago, I saw Governor Sisolak and AG Ford destroy our civil liberties and use my position as an attorney to fight for all Nevadans. I sued them and got places of worship reopened and sued to ensure that our seniors got priority with COVID vaccines and got the age limit reduced from 75 to 65 years old. I spent the fall litigating our children being masked at schools and took on Sisolak, Ford, and the school district to unmask our kids. I did all this while my opponent collaborated with Sisolak and Ford to keep her dispensaries open while our businesses stayed closed. My opponent has spent over a decade collaborating with Democrats, harming Nevadans, maxing out to Sisolak, Reed, and Cortez Masto. True Republicans don't compromise ideals for money. As Nevada's next attorney general, I will work for you, not special interests. I will work to ensure that the American dream never dies. I'm Sigal Chadha, candidate for Nevada Attorney General, and I approve this message. Paid for by Sigal Chadha for Nevada Attorney General. ChaddhaForNevada.com.
More lawyers. I'm Attorney Paul Powell. Have you been injured in a crash? Do you want to win your case? Do you want the insurance companies saying,
"It's Paul Powell"?
Of course you do. I've spent almost 20 years helping injury victims get paid, and I for sure can help you.
If you're tired of greedy lawyers, call 728-5500 or go to paulpowell.com.
I really can help.
Paul Powell. More lawyer, less fee.
Some restrictions apply.
I'm Major Sam Peters, candidate for Congress in Nevada's 4th District. I earned a Bronze Star while deployed to Afghanistan, keeping America safe. Now I'm going to go to D.C. and kick some anti-American ass in Congress. Dementia Joe Biden, illegal immigrants, a stolen election, critical race theory, mandates, enough is enough. I'm Sam Peters. I'm not a career politician. Send me to Congress and I'll fight for President Trump's agenda. I'll finish the wall. I'll even go to the White House and tell Sleepy Joe right to his face. Let's go, Brandon. Paid for by the committee to elect Sam Peters.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few years ago, a friend invited me for an evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Now, Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes. Boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's had been there for over 3 decades and family-owned for over 20 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. And I love their food. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including seafood, steaks, burgers, pastas, and 5 daily specials. And their kitchen is open 24 hours a day for you late-night foodies. What do I like best about Ichabod's? Their old-school Vegas atmosphere. Their bartenders and servers are super friendly. When everyone else has gotten back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. And you'll love their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar. You want to win? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Hello, my name is Barack Zilberberg. With pride, integrity, and honor, I'm running to be your next governor of Nevada. If you believe in freedom, our constitutional rights, and the Second Amendment, if you believe in abolishing critical race theory in our schools, if you're tired of the corrupt, dysfunctional politicians in Carson City who failed when they had opportunities to make Nevada better, if you want our next governor to be a true American patriot who is not a politician, but a businessman, entrepreneur, real estate developer, and a problem solver, then I am the only choice. My name is Barack Zilberberg. I am a visionary with a proven track record of bringing people together. Please visit my website, BarackZilberberg.com. That's BarackZilberberg.com, and invest in the bright future of Nevada. Paid for by Friends for Barack Zilberberg.
You're listening to Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
13 days to Election Day. Yeah. Chuck Muth joining us, the president of Citizen Outreach. I got to ask you, because the numbers that have come in, less than 1% of the electorate has gone to the polls in this first weekend of early voting. Does that surprise you?
No, because the early voting in 2018, there's actually, Republicans are actually turning out in higher numbers than they did in 2018, the Democrats in lower numbers, and that's pretty much reflects what I think we've been seeing out there, you know, with all the talk of the red wave, that Democrats are just basically depressed over their prospects. When you consider everything that Joe Biden's done to this country since he's been president, and Republicans are just fired up, regardless. I know they're split among a lot of candidates and a lot of races, but they are fired up with one thing in mind, and that is to just knock out as many Democrats as possible, get control of at least one, if not both, houses of Congress to be able to put the brakes on Biden's agenda, to get rid of Steve Sisolak in the governor's office and pick up some seats in the legislature. So Republicans are just more energized in this election cycle. But again, primary elections are usually low turnout affairs, and I guess it's also not so surprising that there's less turnout for Democrats because, Kevin, frankly, they don't have anywhere near the number of contested races. They don't have a contested U.S. Senate race. Yes, Tom Collins is running against Steve Sisolak, but not too many people are taking that seriously. So there isn't as much of a reason for Democrats to show up in the primary. So I would just caution people, don't read too much into the turnout figures when this is all said and done, and think just because more Republicans voted in the primary than the Democrats did, that that will translate into the general election, because that's not necessarily so.
All 50 states have set new highs for gas prices. And now we find out that the Biden administration is sending the vice president to Reno on Friday to try and brag on all that they've done for the economy. What in God's name are they thinking in Washington, D.C.?
Well, they're thinking that they don't have anything else. I mean, when the record is so bad as it is, and people know that it's that bad, the only option that they have is to go out and repeat a lie often enough, hoping that enough people will believe it. I just don't think it's going to work for them. If the situation in this country stays through November the way it is today, they will get wiped out. Never underestimate the Republicans' ability to blow an opportunity, but at this point, I don't even think the Republicans can blow this, because the people themselves have had it. You're even seeing the independents, the nonpartisans. A lot of folks who didn't vote for Donald Trump in 2020 have just had it with Joe Biden. And if Republicans were smart, every Democrat that they're running against, they should tie Joe Biden around their neck and use him as an anvil with the electorate, because Biden is just absolutely toxic out there right now. Every time you go to fill up your gas tank at the gas pump, it's another reminder of the failure of this administration.
Speaking of Kamala Harris, the vice president, what do you think of the job she's done?
Well, as a Republican who would like to see a lot of victories in November, she's done a bang-up job. She's pretty much screwed up everything she's been handed. I mean, here's the border czar who is yet to go to the border. She's constantly sticking her foot in her mouth every time she makes a speech. That cackle that she has, it reminds everybody of Hillary.